Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, why should we not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? That's what we're dealing with in 2 Timothy 1:9. It gives us, in rather succinct statements, exactly the reason why nobody who has experienced the grace of God ought to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I hope you're not. I certainly don't want to be. I know sometimes under pressure I can be. I'm no better than Peter, who was bold and insistent that he would never, never, never deny his Lord. But of course he did under pressure, and I don't want to be like that. And I don't want to be so presumptuous that I could never do that. I would never do that, that I make such an audacious, bold statement. I just simply must say my feet are clay. I'm human like everybody else. And I'm sure under the proper circumstances, I could probably do the same thing Peter did. But, oh, Lord, please, please don't let me do that. Keep me, Lord, oh, keep me cleaving to thyself. And still believing till the hour of my receiving promised joys from thee. Don't let me do that. Don't let me get into that kind of spiritual condition. But may I always keep my eyes focused upon Christ, upon what he has done for me, so that I am never, ever, ever ashamed of Christ. Therefore, 2 Timothy 1:8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me, said Paul to Timothy, in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Greetings on this Thursday, September 30, the last day of September. Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast, and thanks, those of you whose financial gifts support and maintain this broadcast on the station. Well, what's the reason why we should never endeavor to avoid the offense of the gospel? Well, it is to remember the source and purpose of salvation, beginning with that word source. Where does salvation come from? It's the first part of verse 9. God who has saved us. God who has saved us. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, every Christian agrees with that. Every true Christian. Every Christian says, I didn't save myself, God saved me. Every Christian, true Christian, agrees that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Every true Christian agrees, for it is by grace you have been saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Every true born-again believer, I'm convinced of whatever theological stripe, would say that salvation is of the Lord. God does the saving. I don't save myself. We all agree on that. But let's understand what that means. That means that God had to resurrect us from death to life. We were dead spiritually in trespasses and sins, and dead men don't hear. Dead men don't see. Dead men don't understand anything. Dead men don't respond to the gospel. That's our problem. We were dead. God had to do something. God had to quicken us to life in order to save us. If we were going to believe the gospel, God had to do a work in our souls. That faith in the gospel that justifies us did not come from within us, not if we were dead, as the Bible plainly says we were. So let's understand what the Bible is telling us when it tells us that salvation is of the Lord, when it tells us that it is God who has saved us. As I say, everybody, I think, would agree with that statement until you really begin to analyze it. And then the hesitations begin, the wait-a-minutes begin, the asterisks begin. Well, that doesn't mean that I couldn't save myself, at least in part, in a little bit of it all. I could do this, I could do that, I had the ability to do this, I had the ability to do that. That's not what the Bible teaches. Let's understand that what God has done for us is so great and so much bigger than what we probably first believed when we were first saved. We don't always understand these things, but as we grow in grace and knowledge and understand what the Bible says about our true condition, we begin to understand just how great this salvation is, how big it is, how mighty it is, how great it is. It all rests upon God. God, who has saved us. Now, I know some dear Christian friends that I love dearly, and I would not question their salvation, but they would want to rewrite this verse a little bit to say, God made salvation possible. But they wouldn't really want to say, God saved us. God made salvation possible if we would do this or that or the other. Now, dear friend, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe that salvation is by grace through faith. I don't believe that anybody is saved apart from faith. I believe that we must exercise faith in order to be justified before the judgment bar of God. I believe all of that. And I believe that I must exercise faith. God doesn't exercise it for me. Agreed? We all agreed on that, I think. But where we disagree is, where does that faith come from? And we need to understand it is not simply that God has made salvation possible. That's true as far as it goes, but that doesn't go far enough. That's only part of the story. Here's the rest of the story. Not only has God made salvation possible, but God has effected salvation. God has made salvation certain. God has made salvation effective. God has accomplished salvation in the lives of all of those who are saved, and will accomplish salvation in the lives of all of those who are yet to be saved. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what Paul says here to Timothy. He doesn't say God who offered to save us, God who made salvation possible, but he makes it very clear, God who has saved us. God who has saved us. That makes us even more grateful. We have a greater debt of gratitude when we understand what the Bible tells us about the source of salvation. It's not mostly of God and a little bit of me. It's all of God. Completely. He's the author and the finisher of our salvation. It's all of God, not from me. Salvation truly is of the Lord, who has saved us. But let's not only look at salvation's source, let's also look at salvation's process. And the whole process, all the details aren't given here, but let's see what is given in verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given us in Christ Jesus before time began. Okay, let's talk about salvation's process. Let's notice that according to our text in 2 Timothy 1:9, salvation began with the eternal purposes of God. Before time began, is the way this verse concludes. Salvation began with the eternal purposes of God before time began, before the world began, before the beginning of time. God purposed to save us. Christ purposed to redeem us. The Holy Spirit purposed to call us to God. That's all in this text. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and to grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Do you believe that? Read it again. God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Listen to me. His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. It's hard to get man into that picture. All of this happened not only before I was born, but even before time began, even before the world was created. These things that are spoken of in verse 9 were accomplished for me and for you if you are trusting Christ. That's what it says. So we see the salvation's process began with the eternal purposes of God, and salvation's process was secured by an act of God's grace. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. Salvation's process was secured by an act of God's grace. Salvation is the gift of God. And grace means grace. It means a free gift. That's the nature of grace. Salvation, what this is saying is, salvation was accomplished before man's actions or attitudes were even in view. That's what this text sounds like it's saying to me. I think that's exactly what it is saying. Salvation's process was secured by an act of God's grace, accomplished before man's actions or attitudes were even in view. Now, does the process include man's actions? Yes, they come along somewhere. Does the process include man's attitudes? Oh, yes, they come along somewhere. They're very necessary. God doesn't save anyone who doesn't repent. God doesn't save anyone who doesn't believe. God doesn't save anyone who doesn't humble himself before God. All of these attitudes and actions come along in their proper place. But this text is telling me that salvation's process began with the eternal purposes of God before time began and were secured by an act of God's grace which was accomplished before man's actions or attitudes were even in view. And when you begin to understand this, the degree of gratitude in your heart is going to grow and grow and swell until it almost overcomes you. And when you begin to understand this, you will understand better why you should never be ashamed of Christ or of the gospel of God's salvation. May God help us never to be so ashamed. Until tomorrow, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.